Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series, we talk to local leaders who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Ann Owen, co-executive director of Caritas of Waco. Hosting the conversation is KWBU President Joe Riley. This conversation was recorded November 4th, 2020, in the KWBU studio.
Ann Owen, welcome to Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm so glad to have you here and to talk to you this month, November, particularly as Thanksgiving month and as what's going on with Caritas and in your world.
Yes, well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It is an important month for Caritas, but I have another question that I just want to start off with just because I know others have asked it. You, within the last year, have become officially a co-executive director of Caritas Waco.
Yes.
What does that mean to be a co-executive director? How does that work?
Well, the other co-executive director is Alicia Jala. She and I were both the co-assistant executive directors before that. And what we did was basically split duties. So she's in charge of human resources, facilities, programs, and I'm in charge of finance and development. So what the board decided was it would be great to have two strong leaders and who were both well-versed in the areas that they would be in charge of. And so they decided to split the duties that way, and it's worked wonderfully. Alicia and I have a great relationship, work really well together, and so far it's been great.
And in fact, you're already doing those duties before Buddy Edwards retired.
Yes, before Buddy Edwards left us. And so, we're blessed to be in those positions, and we're both really enjoying our jobs.
Well, that's wonderful. We want to talk about Caritas a little bit in a minute, but first I'd love to hear about you. Where are you from? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Mm-hmm. I actually grew up in a little town right outside of Waco called China Spring.
I think I've heard of it.
Yes. A long time ago, a lot of people hadn't heard of China Spring. It was a very small rural community, and now it's really grown a lot. So I grew up in China Spring, and I've lived in Waco all my life.
Spending most of your life here in Waco, you have spent a career working in nonprofits.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What was it in your background that put you there?
Well, I actually grew up on a dairy, and so I didn't know it at the time, but we were very poor. But I was oblivious to that until I started working in the nonprofit world, and I really became involved in that through volunteerism with the Junior League of Waco and also with the Cattle Baron's Ball with the Cancer Society. And through that, I entered the nonprofit world as a professional. Just from seeing the need in our community, seeing, especially with the Cancer Society, not only seeing people who are struggling from the disease, but also the financial effects of the disease and what they were going through. And so my heart started aching to help more. That led me to the Girl Scouts because it was very important for me. I had a daughter. And to see her being empowered as a woman, and to also help girls who might not otherwise have the opportunity to be able to be involved in those programs. So that's what took me to Girl Scouts as a financial development executive there, which grew into actually being the acting executive director when the councils merged with several other councils. And then after that, I went to work for the Waco Symphony, worked there for 5.5 years, and then my heart led me to Caritas, where I am now. And it's kind of brought me full circle because I see people who are struggling that I now know that's what we were going through as a family when I was younger.
Were your family, were they involved as you became involved? Were they also involved in the community?
My parents were not, but my immediate family is. My husband was very involved in the community. Some of my siblings were, certainly lots of my friends were. So that all had an influence on me.
Were you a Girl Scout?
I was not a Girl Scout. We didn't have Girl Scouts in China Spring. So I was not blessed to be able to be a Girl Scout. But once I was involved and became involved in that organization, I quickly got my daughter involved in it. And it was very empowering for her. And, you know, they talk a lot about science, technology, engineering, and math. And so she got exposed to a lot of things like that through Girl Scouts. And just seeing strong women, strong female role models.
You've been with Caritas, of course, in your current position just since last spring. But you've been with Caritas since 2014?
2014. Uh-huh.
What have you seen over those years with Caritas and with the need in Waco? What have you seen?
Well, I've seen a lot change in Caritas as far as the direction that we're going. I know first and foremost we're known as a food pantry, and of course we'll always be a food pantry. But our case management program has really, really grown. That started back in 2014, actually before I got there. But the case management program was just in its infancy and now has just really grown. And we're helping a lot of folks through that. And we're not just feeding the need. We're actually helping people. Our tagline is Beyond Hunger to Hope. And so that's what we hope to give people is we know they have immediate needs. They're urgent needs that we can fulfill. But we also want to help them get past that where they don't need us anymore. Our ultimate goal is to work ourselves out of a job.
Well, give me an example with case management. What does that really mean in terms of what you look at with a family that comes in?
Mm-hmm. Well, what we do is when a family comes in and if they're interested in learning more about the case management program, we'll just sit down and talk to them and ask them what's going on in their lives that brought them to Caritas. Sometimes it's they don't have their high school diploma and they can't get a decent job. We have GED classes that are free for them. We can help them find a job. What our case managers do is they sit down, talk to them, and then they map out a plan with our clients, and they have a goal that they set, and they have a certain number of times that they have to meet with our case managers, and they work through that plan, and then ultimately they will have either a job or a better paying job. And if they have child care issues, we can hook them up with other agencies that can help them with that. If they need to go to college, we have a lot of our case management clients that'll go to MCC to get their either certified nurse's aide licensing or certified medication aide. And then they are hired on at some of the local nursing homes.
How do people come to you? Are they referred or they just walk in the door?
Both. And we have a lot of people, of course, prior to the pandemic, we had folks coming through the door or they'd call us, they'd hear about us either through social media or just from word of mouth. And they would call us and ask us about our case management program. We do get a lot of referrals from other agencies. And so that's how they hear about us, and then they come in and ask about it.
For those who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series, and I'm Joe Riley, talking today with Ann Owen, co-executive director of Caritas of Waco. So you do case management, and you're a food pantry.
Right.
Not the only food pantry in Waco.
No, we're not.
How does that work? Is the need that great? Is there competition?
I don't think there's competition. There's collaboration, and the need is that great. The last figures that we saw, the poverty rate in Waco is close to 30%, If you think about that, that's staggering. That's almost a third of our population here in Waco that are in need. They don't know where their next meal's coming from. And so each pantry, especially Caritas, it's we don't give folks enough food to last for an entire month. What we do is we hope we give them enough food to last for a week. And then they can go to some of the other pantries and get food. You know, if they need food for the entire month, there are resources, and we share that information with them because we don't want anyone going hungry in our community.
How is that? Is there something centralized in the way you communicate with other organizations?
There is. All of our case managers, in fact, all of our workers have a sheet of paper that has just all the information about if you need food from another pantry, we can contact them. If they need housing, we have other organizations we can talk to about housing. If they're in an abusive situation that they need to get out of, we can contact Family Abuse Center, the Advocacy Center. We collaborate with so many organizations, and it's reciprocal. They call us, too, if they have someone that comes in and they need food. They'll send them to Caritas.
So Caritas needs, in terms of people you help have needs, Caritas
right.
has needs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing those needs are money and
yes.
and food and uh-huh. and likely other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get your needs filled?
Well, the community is great, and especially this past year, it's just been overwhelming how supportive the community has been. They've stepped up and made sure that we have money, especially to buy food for our families. We receive donations from individuals, businesses, faith communities, from foundations. We have some governmental grants. We have a grant that's specifically for our veterans where we can help them out. And so we just have a wealth of supporters that shore us up.
The food in particular, where how do you get your food?
Well, a lot of it's donated from the Central Texas Food Bank that's located in Austin. Huge operation down there. We also get food from Sam's Club, Walmart, HEB, Pilgrims. Lots of areas here in Waco send us food. And then we also purchase a lot of food, too. And we always try to make sure that we have healthy, nutritional food. Years ago, we just gave folks food just so they wouldn't go hungry. And then that wasn't helping them if they had health problems like heart issues or diabetes or high blood pressure, anything like that. So we have a nutritionist that is on staff right now, and she actually helps us in ordering our food so that we can bring in fresh fruit and vegetables and items that have more nutritional value. And we give out recipes, and we post recipes on our social media to help our folks know how to eat more healthy and to not make the problems that they have worse.
I think a lot of people may just assume that all of your food is donated by people who just bring it by. And,
mm-hmm.
And in fact, I know this is being recorded in November, mm-hmm. that this is a big month. Of course, it's Thanksgiving month, but it's certainly
it
a big month for Caritas and in Food Drive. How does that in the mix, and how does that fit in year round in terms of the ebb and flow of the needs of Caritas?
Mm-hmm. Well, this month is the big Food for Families food drive that's sponsored by KWTX, and we are one of the lead pantries for that. There were six pantries in the Waco area that benefit from that, but we also have businesses, organizations, like I said, faith communities and even individuals who do food drives throughout the year for us. And a lot of times, especially businesses, will do some really fun contests within their organization, like within departments or something like that. Or I know there's one local bank that does Blue Jean Fridays, depending on how many cans of food you bring in or how many dollars you can donate to purchase food. And so they come up with just really fun ways of getting everyone involved. And so we're really blessed, again, just by people who care about those in our community who are suffering. And we get lots of donations of food. We have local farmers who have a surplus who will bring food to us, fresh fruit and vegetables. We're blessed by that. And then we also have some hunters who, if they have a surplus, it's processed professionally, we'll accept that too.
Now, I never would have thought of that. So yeah. Venison or something.
Yes, venison. Mm-hmm.
Wow. You talk about ordering food, and I don't mean to spend the entire conversation here just talking about the food, but you talk about ordering food. When you get food donated, are there specific things that you ask for?
We usually ask for things like canned items, non-perishables, definitely non-perishables. We need beans, rice, of course, canned green beans, any kind of canned vegetables, peanut butter. And for our homeless population, we need smaller cans and pop-top cans because a lot of times they don't have any way to open, you know, like a can of beans or anything like that. So anything that's pop-top, like Vienna sausages, any kind of meats like that, or vegetables that have a pop-top can, or fruit, anything that is easily consumed by anyone that's in our homeless population.
You talk about homeless. Mm-hmm. How many people you serve are homeless, don't have a home?
Oh, goodness. I think last month it was a little over 300, just last month, and that's a non-duplicated number. There are larger numbers than that a lot of months. We average between 2,500 and 3,500 families a month that we serve in general. So the need out there is great. And of course, with the pandemic, we've seen it. It's just even greater.
Well, talk to me a little bit about about the pandemic and what changes you've seen and how the need is greater. What has been happening?
Well, the first thing that happened is we had to really rapidly change our way of delivering food to our clients. Before, they would come into our pantry and they would be able to, kind of like at a grocery store, get their shopping cart, go around, pick what they'd want, and then take it out to their car. Of course, once the pandemic hit, we closed off entry into our building. A lot of our staff who were hired for other positions transitioned into working in our pantry to help package the food, because at that time we weren't allowing a lot of volunteers in either, just for the safety of our staff and for our volunteers. And so now we have a drive-through method where our clients drive in, we load the groceries into the trunks of their cars or their truck beds, and then we also have homeless packages that we give to our homeless community. And then also we've been blessed with the Central Texas Food Bank providing boxes that are prepackaged that we can give out to our clients too.
You were just actually, as we were talking before, you were talking about the line.
Yes.
That was had wrapped around that you actually had to ask people to move so you could
get out. Yes. Every day our line wraps around. Some days it's longer than others. This week we've had a lot of folks come through, and lots of times if our listeners are familiar with the building, it'll wrap around the front of our building to the side on 15th Street and then back down Webster.
Lots of need, lots of service.
Lots of need.
Just a reminder for those who are just joining us that this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Joe Riley talking today with Ann Owen, co-executive director of Caritas of Waco. And, of course, the need and the line is just indicative, I guess, of the need. In a way, it's indicative of the need. It's also indicative of the different way you were explaining about how people get their food. Mm-hmm. But the need has gone up. What are you having? Do you have a chance to talk with people about what they're actually going through? Are they losing their jobs and thus need the help? Is what's going on?
Yes, we have. Of course, we have our regular clients, but then we also have a lot of folks who have either lost their job, have been furloughed, and we've been blessed by the community because we've received some funds that are specifically for COVID, where we can help people not only with food, but with rent and utility payments too. We received some funding from United Way and the Waco Foundation to specifically help with that because so many people are losing their jobs and a lot of them are in jeopardy of losing their homes. And so then we have another whole problem. If we have people losing their homes, then where are they going to go? A lot of them don't have family members. So we've been able to help people with that, with paying their utilities, being able to keep, especially during the summer, being able to keep their electricity on so it's not just stifling hot in their homes. And as the winter's coming up, being able to keep their electricity on for their heating. So those are some of the extra needs we've seen. But as far as numbers go, yes, it's just so many people out there are without a job right now.
This outside funding, I'm guessing this is where you spend a lot of your time is actually looking for where that extra funding may be?
I do, and we have a new development director that came on in June. Her name is Mary Beth Kalk. She has a lot of experience in the Waco community and in fundraising, and so we are just thrilled to have her on staff to take on some of that, too. So she and I are looking, and Alicia, too. We are all constantly looking for sources of income.
How long has Caritas been active in Waco?
We have existed since 1967, so 53 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time for a nonprofit to be active.
It is, and I would guess that our original organizers, our founders, never thought that the need would still be here 53 years later.
Does Caritas feel the effect that many nonprofits are, because the pandemic is affecting nonprofits in many areas right now, and so those who give mm-hmm. are being called upon to divide their attention many more ways. Is Caritas
right.
feeling that?
We actually have been blessed and have not felt it. Our community has really stepped up and shored us up and just made sure that we have the funds. And we have funds to purchase food. We've had the specific grants that came through to help people specifically that have been impacted by COVID, to help with like their housing, utilities, things like that. So we even had a grant that came through from the Rappaport Foundation to help us have four staff, temporary staff, to help us through the end of December because our staff was becoming worn out from just all of the extra work that they were doing. And so that temporary staff that's actually coming from Jack of All Trades is really helping us carrying the carts out to the cars and doing a lot of heavy lifting and things like that. So I'm not sure our staff would have made it without that. But we've just really been blessed. We meet with our board every month and tell them how grateful we are for the support of this Waco community and beyond.
How many people are on your board?
We have 14 board members.
All local, I'm sure.
All local, yes. Uh-huh.
As a leader, and of course this is Central Texas Leadership Series, mm-hmm. and we're talking with leaders, and your background is entirely with nonprofits. Do you see a difference in the what leaders do or need to do within the nonprofit world that leaders mm-hmm. in other situations may need to do?
Well, that's a good question. I think they're a lot similar. I had a couple of jobs early on in my career that were not nonprofit. And I see there's kind of a different leadership style between the corporate world and the nonprofit world. And so I don't have to think about that question.
That's okay. That's okay. I wanted to talk about leadership a little bit in terms of as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see as the where do good ideas come from for you as a leader?
Well, we're very collaborative at Caritas. And so Alicia and I will meet and come up with some ideas, and then we'll meet with our leadership team there. And we make sure that everyone's on board. If we come up with a new idea, we're not just going to say, okay, this is what we want and this is what's going to be done. We believe for an organization to be successful that everyone in the organization needs to be involved. And so that's how both of us feel as leaders. We're very collaborative in our decisions that we make.
Are you looking beyond the pandemic? Do you have a vision for the future beyond the pandemic?
We do. We wish we had a crystal ball, like everyone does. We wish we had a crystal ball to look into to see when this will be over and when things can get back to the normal, whatever the normal is going to look like. As a nonprofit, of course, we have special events that we've had to postpone. And so as we're looking into 2021, we're having discussions about those events. If we're going to be able to have them, when we would be able to have them, and if not, you know, how would we make up the revenue from those if we weren't able to? Actually, how we could, we're going to keep doing our case management. Is there a way that we can enhance that case management if we keep having to do it the way we're doing right now with not meeting folks face-to-face? We obviously have a long-term plan, but we've had to rethink that several times within the past 6 months.
I know you talk with other leaders outside of mm-hmm. Waco. How do you see Waco positioned in comparison? I know Waco, you can't always compare, but in comparison mm-hmm. in terms of need and in terms of what Caritas is doing, how do you see Waco mm-hmm. positioned relative to other communities around the country?
I usually talk to mostly leaders within Texas, and I think Caritas is basically in the same shape that a lot of other nonprofits are. The need has just been greater all the way around. And unfortunately, some nonprofits have not fared as well because their donations have been down. They're just all seeing a lot more need.
For those who are looking at the future and being leaders, mm-hmm. What advice do you have for those who mm-hmm. who may be leaders now or who may become leaders?
Uh-huh. I think always just be true to yourself and to position yourself to be a leader. Go to any kind of trainings that you have available. Align yourself with other leaders. Have mentors that can help you. That's one of the things that's helped me the most. I've had some great mentors in my career who have given me advice and helped me with my leadership skills. And so I think if you have a goal, just set the steps for attaining that goal and go for it.
Well, Anne Owen, I just want to thank you so much for coming out today, particularly during this hard time to share with us about Caritas, about the need that that we have here in Waco and how Caritas and you are helping mm-hmm. fill that need. I just really thank you for coming out and talking with us today.
Well, thank you, Joe. I just really appreciate the opportunity to sit here and visit with you and especially to share information about Caritas and the great work we're doing here in the community.
Thank you.
This conversation was recorded November 4th, 2020, in the KWBU studio.